Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, what the hell? What's the title of this thing? No title again?
I'm Daddy Lonely, the
Rolling Bob.
I know I said I should stop doing that, but I was looking at it. Sitting in the road track, I'm still parked on my friend's farm. He doesn't work the farm, but other people do. They grow a lot of hay. He's got beehives somebody else has got on the farm, and they're doing very well, apparently, which is good to hear. This fellow's very involved in the, I guess you'd say, the environment movement. Not the kind who gets up on Facebook or Twitter and yells at people to do this or stop doing that. But to actually work with, he was an ecologist his entire life. Biologist and here in the Maritimes and had a very good job. And is still involved in many communities and conferences and preserving almost a way of life here and certainly the environment and tracking wildlife. So he's the real thing. He's not just some joiner who, you know, latecomer who says, oh yeah, this is what we should be doing, save the earth. Actually does stuff. Anyway, it's just been a wonderful, wonderful time. Yesterday we had a treat. By the way, it's Tuesday. Oh, September 11th. Yes, yes. Oh, that has a significance on its own, but for me, I'm just sitting on a farm. It's just raining a little bit. Apparently, a big storm coming. And I've moved from the house where I have internet access back into the road trick where I don't. And thought, should I stop the podcast at number 700 with no announcement? Just bam, okay, holidays over, end it. Or is this an addiction I'm still not ready to give up on? And yeah, here I am. Only another day left or two and then we're off. But in our conversations, yeah, I started to say yesterday we had a back to the lander, I guess, because he didn't use the word hippie. He left New York City. I think he was involved in the stock market. Left New York City. And moved to Vermont for 7 years and got a taste of the rural living, country living, I guess. And then moved to Nova Scotia in 1972, former American. Well, when asked about Trump, says they deserve it. They deserve it vehemently. They deserve it, you know, any civilized democracy that doesn't have health care for its people. You know, it's like the people, hey, why haven't you done something about this? But anyway, you know, why are you letting? Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's insane. So, yeah, I understand why he says that. Anyway, he came here at a time when you could buy land in Nova Scotia for $20,000, $30,000 to get you 100 acres or so and maybe a house thrown in or two or a usable farm when people didn't want it. And certainly those days are long gone. And you got to admire people who had the foresight to buy then. And you know, it's not city living. You don't have all the conveniences. You've got to adapt to it. You have to live the life if you choose that. And this fellow's done very well now with chickens. And but meanwhile, for a little bit of a hobby, he wrote a book based on the house that was on his property when he bought it. And did some research and found out who the family was and what was going on in this area at the time. And this is a time before the roads and trains coming in when everything was done by ship. And that was the modes of transportation, of communication. And all these little almost abandoned towns, or maybe there's a few cottages now, that you see along the coastline here in Nova Scotia, were once thriving communities. With ships and people, you know, like when you look at an old Western or something, you see somebody rich coming into town on the stagecoach, a similar thing. So he did an excellent job of researching and creating sort of fictional characters, but based on the pictures he had seen and the history of this house and this area. And my buddy sent me a copy of the book, And it was a very interesting read. Like, wow, takes you back. Nova Scotia in 1860 and on. And anyway, he came over yesterday for a good chat and a talk about his next book, which he's working on, about the Acadian expulsion. And anybody who knows Canadian history knows that is a very, very interesting time with very strong feelings this way and that. And we are in the area where the Acadians lived, and the British said, swear allegiance or basically we burn your house down and put you on ships and send you out of the country. So, very interesting, but also got talking about writing and, told him about my struggles. And one of the things that came up in conversation before and after that was my lack of confidence. And I just want to talk about that a little bit. And clearly, it's, you know, anybody listening knows this is something that's, even if I don't speak about it directly, it's impacted my life. On the plus side, it's caused me to do the things. Like the reason I went to Nigeria, the reason I went to Europe alone, the reason I went to Japan was, hey, to prove I can do things. And I think I've spent a life proving to myself that, hey, you're okay. You don't have to worry. What is this lack of confidence? That's just some hang-up from the past. You've already passed any test that you need, except you're the last guy to realize it. And it is an issue, and it is what holds me back. I mean, the first thing when I think about writing and telling a story, my story, is it won't be good enough. Well, that's even before you start. And then that's, well, wait a minute, by whose standards? And so all these things I allow to get in the way and hold back on my creativity. So this idea, this trip to Newfoundland, when I posted a lot of very decent photos, and I remind you that, hey, I've been taking pictures under great tutelage since 1967. This fellow was one of the teachers, the fellow I'm staying with, the Leica fan, I got decent feedback. People, hey, these are great pictures. I'm really enjoying these. Thank you. And including a lady today from Colorado who I met at Lowell Celebrates Kerouac last year. And, you know, that's, again, a little further, a little bit of proof. So the thing is, I mean, the reality is, number one, I am holding myself back. And number two, though, I still really don't have a firm grasp of what it is I want to. I realize the adventures are one thing. The stories I've got, good stories. Whether I tell them in an interesting way or not is certainly not a certain thing. But more than that, what I want to write about is this struggle to be a person, to have confidence, to grow, to shuck off the things that hold you back, to live with confidence, to go ahead, to fucking do what you want to do and not let your fears, your doubts, your anxieties, your the other voices, the other people, the imaginary criticisms haunt you. And I think that's an important message for anybody. Now, this fellow did tell me something interesting when he asked, my friend said, hey, tell him what you do. You know, what's this Japanese program you got going? Because this fellow didn't know me, of course. And I talked about that, and he said, well, you know, that might be a good framework for your story, starting sort of with the beginning when you first went to Japan and you didn't know anything. And the other side, or the other part of the framework, or the ending, I don't know, is where you're at now with this program that you do every year and the experience the girls have. That was an interesting thought. But the trouble is, I don't want to frame it just by Japan. Japan is a huge part of the story, but it's only one part of the story because Nigeria has to be in there. So, I don't know, I suppose you could double back. But I don't, you see, I don't think, he thinks like a writer and a storyteller. And I don't. I think like a blurter. You just blurt things out. And that is the approach I've been working on, thinking about. Anyway, I just bring you up to date on that. And the other alternative, which I've talked about with him and with many other people, is maybe also reaching the point where it just isn't necessary anymore. And you just don't do it. Because you've reached a point where, okay, I've lived those stories. I don't have any need to, you know, share them. That doesn't sound very convincing to me. But, you know, maybe that is a route to go. All right, that took 10 minutes. It has been very, very good. I mean, almost all our conversation has been about cars. I mean, a lot of it, cars and vehicles, because that's what this person is interested in, but also cameras. And not so much reaching into the back. Remember the good old days? And of course, some of that and the characters we knew. But it's each person is so different, and I value so much each of my friendships, but it does bring about a different part of yourself. Like with this person, I'm the guy, he tells me I'm the guy who got him interested in cars. I'm the guy who showed him my Road Track magazines way back in the 60s, and that got his interest, and he became got into it much deeper than I did. But that's an interesting, maybe I think I already mentioned that, but it is something, but it does sort of define our relationship, our friendship. And then when I meet somebody else who I knew from the other teacher, the other Leica fanatic, when I go out to his cottage after my study tour, it's a different type of conversation altogether on different things. And it might be about church and people and philosophy and writers, Somerset Maugham, who he turned me on to, and Dave Brubeck, who he turned me on to, and it's a different friend with a different personality and a different matching up, you know, and it brings out a different part of yourself. So I do like this idea with each friendship you have that's unique and strong, that it brings out a different you, and it isn't a fakeness, oh, and I've got to change to suit this person. It's a different part of you because you are many parts, and that's why you have these many friendships. And each one is a relationship on its own. It's distinct with its own characteristics. It's a living thing, these friendships. So all of this is to get me to the next story. I have another friendship, another friend, the boy I visited in Australia, 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, maybe three. And we had that wonderful tour, and my son was there at the time, and it was a great, great trip. But that person is coming to Canada. His mother died, and they're coming for the ceremony. He's coming for the ceremonies, and he's going to extend the trip, come to Toronto, and we had set up the days. He's going to stay with us. And then I realized, gee, in the middle of that is Lowell Celebrates Kerouac. October 4th to October 8th, which I went to last year. And I made new friends there. I made different people, only obviously just for a shorter time and only in person at that event. But we've kept together through Facebook, and there's a little gathering, and I fit in really well. I was part of that. And there's people saying, you know, you're coming back, I guess. We want to see Sal parked outside the old Worthern where Kerouac drank. That's part of it now. You're part of it, buddy. And, wow, I should go back. So I've been debating this, and I wrote to a woman in Colorado. Well, she's not coming because she does not like Ann Charters. And Ann Charters is the guest, the featured speaker this year. And I find it very interesting because she told me a lot of things about Ann Charters that she knew. Who, and many of you, if you're Kerouac fans, you know that she wrote the first biography of Kerouac. And it was sort of a Bible for many people. It certainly got me really interested. Wow, this book is amazing. Well, she is the keynote speaker. Well, I should go and see her, but I also understand exactly why my friend from Colorado, who is coming in 2019, and texted me and said, hey, you know, come join our Colorado group. You know, you're welcome. This is a wonderful person, a professor. And so this, I have new friendships, new people. I got this guy I see when I go to Mossport, and that's a part of my life. It's still continuing to I mean, network is one word of it, but you think of that in a business sense and handing out business cards. And no, this is to connect with people, to make new friendships, to be a part of other groups and connections. So I was, I don't know if I was 50-50, but I did tell my friend, look, I've got this thing. And he said, okay, fine. We'll cut the visit short. So he's already given me, he's already made arrangements to be gone the day I have to leave. Now, the trouble is, it's a long drive to Lowell to make in one day. To be there in time for 6 o'clock for the start of the pub crawl, pub tour, not a crawl, but there's certainly many beer involved. I'd have to be there by 5 o'clock. That means I got to leave pretty well. That means I got to get this guy out of my house early in the morning, eh? You're off to Hamilton to see your other friend, which is fine. He'll be okay. I'm not stranding him. He's already made arrangements. But, here I am telling you about the future. Well, that's part of what I do, isn't it? And when I look back on this, regardless of anybody listens or not, I have a 13-year history of where I was. Now, this friend said, hey, you could use that. And I'm thinking, no, this... The Dixon Chains podcast is boring. You know, hey, it's just some old man ranting on. I mean, it's had its day. It had its fun in the pioneer days. I was a different voice. I still am. There still are a few listeners out there. But this is just a thing. This is just something I do. And what it captures really isn't of all that much interest. I know that. I don't even feel bad about it anymore. Well, maybe I do. here's a perfect example. Yesterday, talking with this man, over a J, I might add, of mine, there were some very interesting conversations about Acadian history, about Nova Scotia, about back to landers versus hippies. It covered a lot of ground, and it would have made far more interesting listening, I think, than anything I put out solo. But I didn't record it, and I purposely didn't record it because we know that when you bring out a recorder, it changes the nature of the conversation. It's just a different thing. And I think that's probably a bigger question that I should be raising and asking, why is it that for all these friends I have, for all these people I value and have very deep connections with, who are very interesting in their own way, each of them, with very interesting histories, why aren't I recording these? Why isn't this my mission? I've come to Nova Scotia, I've met a writer, a back-to-lander, an interesting man. Why didn't I say, hey, Paul, give me some time, and I just want to record your story. And I don't do that, partly because I'm just living the moment with this person, experiencing it, and also partly because bringing it up is an intrusion to a lot of people. Some people are shy. Some people are nervous. Some people will be conscious of the recorder the entire time. And the actual just living, breathing, zen-like, passing experience of sitting in this bright new room with the sun shining in, sharing a J and some tea, and having an open, non-directed conversation is of the value. That is the thing that is important, not capturing it. And I know, having told you that, you could differ and say, no, Ken, if you had done that and I was listening to it now, it would be better than listening to you. And no, that isn't my lack of self-confidence speaking up. That's just a fact. Okay, I've gone on too long. Here I am filling up another goddamn podcast. This afternoon, I think I mentioned we're going off to meet new people in other parts of Nova Scotia. It has been wonderful to be able to come here, not as a tourist, but as a visitor. And I've been coming here since the 60s. When I used to visit these people when they went to the university down here. And that's where I saw Gordon Lightfoot perform at the Acadia Winter Carnival. And that's where I saw Simon and Garfunkel perform at the Acadia Winter Carnival. Yeah. That's a history. This is the area where I had my first taste of hashish. Not this area, but a place called Wolfville, Nova Scotia. Yeah, where I was back in yesterday talking with the bookshop owner. Okay, Scarborough Dude, signing out. Sorry this went on a bit long, but don't they all? Check, check. Yeah, I'm me again, and I gotta keep this short, but I'm lying horizontal, of course. yeah, I know. Lying vertically, it's tricky. I'm parked behind a seafood restaurant, the Wheelhouse, and I have just overeaten, which is something I don't really do that often, but oh man, I'm in Digby. So I started off, went next door to the shoreline, had a nice beer on the in the back overlooking the harbor, you know, where all the boats are. It was lovely view, but by the time you, you know, add in tax and a tip, it's a $10 pint. No, I'm not going to have another one. Walked around and then finally decided it's time for supper, so went in there. Held off until I had a seat that I wanted, like a two-seater with a view of basically my road trek, because it's the tallest thing in the parking lot, overlooking the ships in the harbor, the boats. So anybody looking out the window would have been looking at this thing that I'm in now. But I had a pint of Garrison. Oh, an ale anyway. Boy, it was so good. I've had those before. Excellent. And then ordered the chowder. The chowder is always so good. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I know this is trite, but seafood chowder, you know, with haddock and shrimp and scallops and just this thick creamy soup. Oh, they're so good. I've had so many on this trip. Just love good seafood chowders. Then the question was, okay, now do I just have an appetizer of a few bacon wrapped scallops? Yeah. Or do I go all out and have the, geez, you know, I think they didn't charge me for something. My bill wasn't enough. 25. 934. Oh, yeah, I was right. anyway, went for the lobster on pan-fried haddock. It was so good. I mean, it was creamy sauce, but thick, big pieces of lobster. You know, you're tasting that's lobster with a baked potato. In fact, I even asked for a box to take out. So I didn't need that. I could have walked out without that meal. I could have just walked out after the clam chowder or seafood chowder. But Phil, come on, man. It's the last night in Nova Scotia. You know, just go for it. And it took a little convincing. But I knew I'd curse, I'd regret it if I came out. And I thought, well, you know, you could have had lobster. So I did. I'm thrilled. I don't know why I'm wasting your time telling you about it. I guess the big news for the day was I had propane filled up. My propane tank ran out completely, and it's been running my fridge. Well, the batteries just don't keep the fridge cold enough. So by chance, I found one of the few places in all of Nova Scotia. I figured Digby would be a good chance, and I thought you could just get propane at any gas station. Well, they don't do that anymore. They exchange tanks, but they don't have somebody on staff with the proper training in the propane tank to fill up vehicles. So I saw this great big bus and, you know, partnered with a propane store. I said, well, that's got to be, you know, they're loading up that bus, they got to do mine. Well, the guy was out in the road. We had to wait an hour for somebody to come back. But turns out that was one of the few places anywhere where I could have got propane. So, I mean, it was just lucky that I saw that bus waiting. And so my tank is full for the first time. So it's one more thing off the list. Yeah, fill propane tank. So now my fridge is working full on propane. The seafood that I took out in the takeout box will be fine tomorrow. My beer will be cold. But first things first, I got to get on the ferry and sail to St. John, New Brunswick, and see how far I get tomorrow. So, this is not even worth including in a podcast, but it's kind of neat. Just sort of lying here in the back. I'll get up and go for a walk later, but, you know, I'll spend the night in this parking lot by at the harbor. And then who knows what I'll do in the morning. Look someplace for a coffee, maybe. Oh, yeah, on the fringe of town is Tim Hortons and McDonald's, for which I have coupons. All right. Enough about this damn food. Bye for now. All right. That wasn't too loud. Okay, I'm in Trenton at the highway stop, you know, along the 401. One of these Service Ontario type things. Been here many times up at the top of the hill, and convenient place to stop. But I didn't buy anything. I only went in and had a dump. There you go. That's why I'm here. I've got my own fridge still full of chocolate milk. I always, when I'm driving long trips, I like to have these little plastic jugs of chocolate milk. More trivia, and that's what I want to talk about right now. My trivial podcasts, my mindless ramblings. I listened to Shane and Tom, the Squeezebot podcast, and Tom had mentioned previously, I mean, first of all, I love it when my name comes up and they remember the Scarborough Dude. It's always insulting, it's always offensive, but Tom listens, Shane doesn't. Tom talked about the mouth noises I make. I'm probably making them now, like that, but I'm not aware of them, or wasn't until Tom pointed it out. And the next show, he actually recorded a clip. Oh, I got some of Ken's noises that he makes with his mouth, you know, and it sort of implied, well, didn't imply, let it be clear, it's kind of disgusting to listen. Plus, he eats on his show and so on. And I heard it. And, you know, you're right, that is disgusting. I wasn't aware of it, and so I should be, you should be, the listener should be thanking Tom, owner of the Fog Lounge, for pointing that out. But it made me a little self-conscious, naturally. And then the clip he chose to play, I think it was a random clip, but it was, you know, I was raving about spot number 3.5, a camping spot that I got in St. Martin's, and how it was the best one I could have had. Or no, maybe it was St. Andrews. And Shane says, you know, people actually listen to that shit, you know, like, boring. And I thought, yeah, you're right, too. It really is. And so I stopped recording after that. I had finished. I had just put up episode number 700. And it was like a high point. It was that special day when I was at Grant's Cove, and the man had come up on the forklift to offer me moose sausages. And I just felt, you know, absolutely wonderful. You know, I'd reached a peak there in Newfoundland, and it was number 700, and I thought, well, all that suggests this would be a good time not to record anymore. I'd already done a couple of recordings, but I realized, no, don't put them out. But here I am today feeling the need to talk to you again. So, I don't know what to do. I could just end it there, but then if this need is still here, and the fact that I'm talking to you now on a recording that may or may not be released, and I think it will be released, it means I'm still going. I will try and be a little more aware of the noises I make. Yeah, you see, my mouth is all kind of... Now, as I think about it. But anyway, I guess I decided, if I'm going to quit, it's not going to be because somebody made me self-conscious. I'm going to quit on my own terms. And, you know, if this comes out, if you're hearing this, then no, I haven't quit. I'm back at it. I guess it is trivial, and I really do realize, you know, there's the occasional time I'll get high and I'll listen back and think, wow, that was really good. But I know it's not. I know this is a boring, long podcast. I'm long-winded. My stories seem to go on. They seem to be often be about trivial things or how good I feel, which is just really quite shallow. And I guess at one point, even during this trip, I had the terrible awareness that, you know, Ken, you're as shallow as you've always been a shallow man. You're still shallow. And I guess by that, I mean, I try and have deep thoughts and think things through and reflect on life and read and study. But I probably live still on a level where I'm just still a kid. I want to be happy. I want to please me. I was saying to Alvin as I left this morning from Kingston, where I stayed last night, that I'm so self-indulgent. I'm so much into the things that make me content or happy or satisfied. And I don't seem to get far beyond that. You know? Now, having said that, at breakfast we talked. I could give a long story now of how I ended up in Kingston last night, which to me is very significant, and I guess that's a perfect example. Probably if I related the story, it would mean nothing to you. Even as I told Alvin and Brady about what was happening last night that led me to their house, it just seemed kind of ridiculous. But as I told them this morning, I recounted that time when I went to thank God for all the blessings I had and realized I couldn't any longer. That road was blocked. There is no God. And I ended up thanking my brothers and sisters of the human race who've made life so fortunate that, wow, there's food to eat, there's cars to drive, there's music to listen to. Holy fuck, we got everything. Where'd that come from? Not God. No. That's from humankind. And I was able to transfer my gratitude for all these blessings back onto people like me, like you, like friendships, like all these things. And there was some significance in that, and that did happen on this trip. So in a lot of ways, this trip to Newfoundland that these podcasts have been about, that the photos on Facebook have been about, that the tweets have been about, has been significant to me, has been absolutely wonderful. But is that something you can really share? Do people care? So I guess, maybe I'm talking now, because just there are whole pieces that were very important to me that I left out. I visited my niece in the Eastern Townships. I've never been there where she lives. As a kid, I went to Abercorn and knew all those places, Cowansville and Sutton. And it was, again, part of my history. And I had an absolutely wonderful time with her and tweeted about going to some former biker bar out in the outskirts. Can't even remember. Maybe it was Cowansville. Yeah. And hearing a heavy metal band screaming. But it was neat that, wow, this is my niece who I haven't seen for, she thought, decades, but not quite that long. But certainly not to talk. And it was an absolutely wonderful visit, a reconnection with somebody in the family that is important to me. And, you know, we hugged and she said, Uncle Ken, Uncle Ken, it's you. And started talking about what Uncle Ken meant to her when she was young. And I felt so good to recall. She said, you just show up and you just come from someplace interesting and you brought stuff with you and then you're off to some other place and you're just in and out of our lives. And it was always exciting and interesting. And I just felt tremendous, like it reawakened almost a ghost of myself. Yeah, I haven't met Uncle Ken for a long time. But she was recalling her childhood. This person in the family who would show up and take them out of my little orange Datsun 510 that she remembered was called Henry. And she had all these memories that were fresh that came to life again. That was just such a beautiful experience. And then I left and met, of course, her boyfriend and liked him immediately. And then left the next day and did this beautiful drive along the Vermont border on side roads and so on through all the eastern townships and then into the flatter fields of Quebec where the farms are and places, names that I knew, Pike River, Howick, Huntington, Ormstown, Valleyfield, places that meant so much to me, all the little border crossings into Vermont and New York State. All the memories of childhood that go with every one of those names. Visiting Ormstown, when we would visit the Ormstown Fair as kids. And the friends I had, the same friend I visited in Florida from that time. It was an absolutely beautiful drive. And then ended up through circumstances I'm not going to go into now. But in Kingston, driving along Lake Champlain. What a thrill. Lake Champlain, I remember that. And then the Richelieu River. And all this beautiful, beautiful scenery that, you know, I was driving. I couldn't stop and take all these pictures, but it was just so thrilling. And then even last night, coming into Kingston, as the sun is setting and the sky is darkening, but there's still a band of light on the horizon, and you're looking at Lake Ontario where the Rideau River comes into it. And it was stunningly beautiful. And I get there, and I haven't eaten, and my mission to eat was thwarted. And I get there at Alvin and Brady's, and Brady says, "Don't worry. There's a plate in the fridge." And she brings up a plate of a turkey dinner with vegetables and potatoes, and it's ready for me, a whole plate of turkey dinner, my supper. When I just sort of spur of the moment changed plans and decided not to visit my niece, my other niece, but visit Alvin and Brady in Kingston instead. And there I am eating supper and laughing because it's so bizarre that it would work like that. And then, of course, her wonderful breakfast of Alvin's homemade yogurt and her steel-cut porridge and then an omelet and a melted brie and, oh, fresh coffee. And a talk, because we go back, Alvin and Brady, friendships. Alvin, the guy I traveled through Mexico with all that time. And his beautiful wife, Brady, and we talk about Buddhism. She's raised, of course, Hindu, and now just gets Buddhism on a level that I still strive for. And she just is generous and kind. And these are wonderful people. Deep, rich friendships. And again, in full circle, there's just so much to be grateful for. And I feel so blessed. And I guess maybe that's what I want to share. Maybe I like to think there's a message hidden in my words. Maybe there isn't. Maybe I've just smudged it all together and it's just a mass of confusion. But here I am. And I'm going to shut this down and I'm going to get back on the road and I'm going to go home and face a whole new reality. Day 30, this is. 30 days on the road. It's been an absolutely fabulous trip. So, Tom, what can I say? Thanks for pointing that out. I'll make a little effort not to make so many mouth noises, but fuck you if I do. Shane, fuck you. I wouldn't let you listen anyway, even if you wanted to. Ma'am, you're banned. Shane Potvin, you are not allowed to listen to this podcast. Even after I'm dead. Yes, it's retroactive. It goes back. No, forget everything you ever heard on this and never listen again. Bam. There you go, fuckers. Again, the richness of friendship. All right. Scarborough dude. Gonna get in my wagon here and drive off. I've got Tommy queued up on the DVD player, and I'm going to listen to Tommy for the rest of the drive. Bye for now. And remember, now is all we've got. Yeah, check, check, check. Ken here. It is Thursday, September 20th, about 20 to 8, quarter to 8. And I'm sitting in a place called, now what is it called? Something Green Acres, maybe. A campground. God, I cannot keep straight whether I'm in Waterloo or Kitchener. I guess this is Waterloo, yeah. And our Road Trek factory's in Kitchener. Or maybe it's Cambridge, because they have a couple of places we've been going back and forth. Anyway, we've been just moving back and forth from here to there. Moved in Tuesday night, and we'll check out tomorrow. We're going to have a factory tour of where they make our Chevy line of Road Treks. Everybody's very excited, because everybody here, well, there's a few Dodge people, but mostly Chevy fans. They have gone out for supper. The crew I'm with, there are eight Road Treks, I think. 12 people, yeah. I'm very impressed. Three women traveling on their own in their own Road Treks. I think that's great. Anyway, they wanted to go out for supper. I knew as soon as I heard rumors of it, great, I'm going to stay behind alone. But I look over and I see another Road Trek still here, and that would belong to Lynn and Roger. And I first heard of them on the Road Trek Facebook group or blog or one of those things, because Roger is 89 years old and is just full of knowledge, very bright, very interesting guy, and has toured and traveled everywhere with Lynn, who seems to be considerably younger. And they know everything there is to know about Road Treks. It's pretty interesting. So it's sort of like within this group, it's like within podcasters, you have your minor celebrities, and they are definitely celebrities. So anyway, when the group gets back, I'll put this away and I'll go join them. And somebody said the couple from Florida want to build a campfire. So we'll sit around that. I decided, no way, I'm staying here. And on the way back to camp, I saw Sobeys. My God, those stores are huge. I really like them. And bought myself a really nice, two pieces of really nice sirloin steak for $5. It was incredible. On sale, special. And fried them up in the pan with butter and my special spice. God damn, that was good. And then a little container of rice that I had left over in the microwave, because I'm plugged in. I've got what they call shore power. I'm here for the Road Trek Academy. And this is where you learn about your road trek, and they take you through, and it's 3 days of courses and factory tour and meeting with the people who work here, the sales, technicians, and also to have a technician go over, or mechanic, whatever you want to call them, go over your vehicle, you know, thoroughly. And then tomorrow we get to meet up with them and ask any questions we have. They do a checklist of what's okay or maybe what might need to be done. I'm told, again, I probably should see a transmission specialist. There might be a crack in a plate, according to one fellow who knows Chevys quite well. Doesn't think it's a bearing, as the other mechanic thought it was. So the thing is, I've got to get it in. I still need an oil change. They don't do that here. They're really not set up yet as a service provider. So they're doing a lot of cosmetic stuff. I had a broken hinge or a latch on a door. They fixed that. Nice new runners on the bumpers and you know, tightened up bolts where I thought I had a leak in my water system. And it's pretty thorough. But tomorrow's the day we get to spend an hour at least with the mechanic to go over everything. And that's when I say, okay, look, show me the ins and out of this, the water system, and how I could winterize. I felt after I listened, when I'm in this class, it's like I miss the prerequisite, and it's like I'm in an advanced mathematics or calculus class or something, and I don't have the basics, and I'm just having a hard time keeping up. And there's only one other very nice woman beside me who knows probably even less than I do. But all the others, my God, they start talking about any amount of technical issues and get right into it. So it's interesting. It's a mix of people. I guess the longer we're together, the more I'm sort of warming up to them. I realize more and more I am a loner, and that's why I'm celebrating now being back here. I went into the road trek and had a beer on the go, some wine on the go, spiced up the steak, and put on Tennessee Ernie Ford and cranked out the music, and just felt so good. Felt like I was camping again in Newfoundland. I recaptured that feeling, because I am camping, and it's a very beautiful spot. We're right at the very edge of this campground, so it's an open field and trees behind us. It's quiet. It's huge. There's people who live here almost year-round, like trailers that are like houses and so on, but they've reserved a section for us, which was covered in our fee for this course that was, you know, for us to put our road tracks together. It, what's very neat is in the morning, the convoy of going into Kitchener to the factory, and you've got 8 road tracks in a row. Now, sometimes we get separated by traffic, of course, but it's pretty neat to see all these vehicles. I've posted a couple of pictures. So anyway, great timing. A good thing I've done. A nice pick-me-up after the, after that camping trip. I still need, there's a few things that still have to be done. I've still got to find a trustworthy dealership. They've convinced me that I should go to London, Ontario. And I go, that's a fuck of a long way to go for servicing when I've got one in, is it Oshawa where these guys are? Not quite Oshawa. But their feelings were no. My this is Owasco, the name of the company, and my feeling was no. I'm not so sure I like that service. I mean, the tipping point for me was when they charged me to put air in the tires. It was ridiculous. And their feeling is they are very overpriced and not all that friendly. And I know when I went last time, they're still working out of trailers because they're moving to a new facility. Anyway, you don't need to know that. I'm just saying it's kind of geeky, and it is another subculture, and it's my first time to, you know, you are part of a family, and this is the message. The people, Road Trek was bought by a German company, Ehrenheimer, who are sort of the premier manufacturer in Europe for trailers and camping gear, or, vehicles as well. And then only 2 days ago, or this week anyway, another bigger company, Thor, bought out Ehrenheimer, which is family owned, and they're sold. Road Trekkers are family owned, but they will still keep the Road Trek brand going, and it will have its own facility for manufacturing, and then they will also put these Active, which is one brand, and then we saw the assembly line for trailers, which are very cool. So it's neat, but there is a sense, they say, you know, no, Road Trek, there's a brand loyalty to it, and we will help you, and you can believe them. They went out of their way to look after us. It's very, very good customer service. So that's exciting. It's exciting. I don't know where I'm going to go from here. I may just end this now, because I don't know where this is going to fit, whether that podcaster I was referring to earlier when I felt a little funny about, you know, should I even continue to be podcasting? And today I had a moment in class when I felt, no, I really want to get back and talk to you people. I guess because I didn't feel I was connecting with everybody on this course, but I felt you, the Dixon Jane's podcast listener, you are people I know. I mean, quite a few of you who do listen, who I think listen or used to listen, whatever. I feel very comfortable with you. I can be myself. And I've been very silent in this group. Like, you know, I'm starting to make a few little snide remarks. I'm picking and choosing. There's one woman, in a very American way, I'm going to say that, that sounds very rude, but in a very American way, who's very, dominates most of the talk, because she's here for her. It's like when you've got a parent council, and there's one mother who really is only concerned with her kid, not the other kids, but her kid, and, you know, what the school needs to do to suit her kid. And this is very much her problems. And I have another question, and she's like, she's actually doing the whole route, looking up the people, going into their offices, hugging them, and getting pictures taken with them, like everything to say, you know, wow, if this lady ever has trouble, these people are going to be obliged to help her. They already have. They're doing an awful lot for her, and they don't seem to mind. But it's certainly, I would say, of all the talking time going on from us, the attendees for this course, she's getting 50% of the time. And, you know, it owns up to as much. Oh, she's in sales and she's good at this stuff. She knows that. And I guess that's okay. You're in a group, different people. Just, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons I didn't want to go out for supper. But anyway, and on the other side, met somebody today who was also on a journey, a spiritual journey. And we just connected over books and Buddhism and... that was nice. That was very nice. And we will exchange. We will connect on Facebook. We'll exchange emails and all of the rest of the stuff. So anyway, that's it. I guess that's just an update I felt I should from this beautiful little park in the middle of this course. Catch up. I arrived Tuesday night and it is now Thursday evening. And it's been good. It's been a lot of fun. So this is Ken, yours truly, the host, Scarborough Dude, signing off for now. It's me. I'm in the road trek. It is, what is the date? Oh, it's the first day of spring. I mean, fall. September 23rd. It is just after 5. My wife is likely to show up any minute in the car with the groceries. It's been a beautiful day, and I kind of wasted it. I got up at 6 to let the cat out. The cat got me up at 6. 7 o'clock, I was driving my son to the airport. He's gainfully employed. He's enjoying it out at the airport, and we're very glad about that, but it's early, and it's a long way from Scarborough. It's the other side of the city, plus. But anyway, it's working out. He's doing it. He's fine, and we're all very happy about that. So then I went to church. We've moved locations. Our church is in need of repair. There's mold. There's leaks. And I think finally the order came for us to vacate the premises. This has nothing to do with Greta's situation. But there was an empty church really around the corner from where I live. And it's a beautiful church. It was completely redone. And it sounds like the congregation just left or whatever. I don't know. So that's our new location for now. And we had a native speaker come and actually recite prayers in his native tongue. He's from way up north, learned from his mother and grandmother. It was kind of interesting. He had a beautiful voice and has been doing this for a very long time. And he came into our house to, I guess, share some of his knowledge and understanding and spiritualism with us. So it made for an interesting service. And anyway, so let's park that. Anyway, what it meant was, instead of me going out on my bike and enjoying this fine day, I curled up in the back of the road trek for my podcast nap. I call it that because I'll put on a podcast and it'll put me to sleep. And then I usually, if it's one I want to listen to, I'll replay it. I've only got a few minutes left on this. I had a clip, and for some reason, instead of the usual, 40 megabyte size, this thing swelled to 640 megabytes. Oh, here's my wife. I got to go help her. And that was just insane. And I could not get it fixed. I couldn't get it open. It just was a mess. So whatever I recorded there, it was recorded in Nova Scotia on my friend's lawn. We'll just forget it. It's gone. It's passé. So listen, I'm going to come back. I'm going to go and help her load the groceries into the house. I'll talk to you soon. Yeah, I'm back. She's decided to do a little yard work first, and here I am sitting in the back of the road trick. Also talking with my son at the same time. He got a very cheap flight to Japan in November from Vancouver. And my wife was planning on going in October. Now she wants me to look into flights for her to go to Vancouver and then Japan, which would be great. I want her to have her treats. All of this trips to Japan aren't always really a treat for her. There are obligations. Anyway, what else? This tour, the trip you already heard about, the three-day academy at Road Trek was fantastic. I'm so glad I went. I did learn a lot, although I just spent half an hour working on one thing I never thought to ask them about, and that's how to operate my TV. There's just some switch in for the antenna, and my brother showed me once, so I can work the video side of it, but I should be able to raise the aerial. It's got an aerial on the roof you crank up quite high. And I just couldn't get any channels, and I'm thinking something is just one button. I see two buttons there. Something is not set in the right place so that it's connected to the antenna. And there are plenty of people around. If I had one of those virtual Youpers nearby, he would have it fixed in a jiffy. But for me, I don't know. I just try and remember what button I pushed, and then so that it goes back into the position it was in before I messed around with it. So I don't lose every function. Anyway, this academy was great. And oh my God, they gave us like hats and flashlights and stuff. A wonderful sheet in a plastic folder of a checklist of everything you should do and how often you should do it. You know, to weekly, monthly, yearly. That's great. That's really great. I'm excited because I'm taking it in tomorrow to a Chev dealer for on oil change. I've decided I don't need to go to an RV specialist for an oil change. So if I can get it on good terms with my local Chev dealer, I want to have them look at the transmission too, which could be an expensive proposition. The reason I was trying to fix up my TV is because I want to cut my cable. I've got to start saving money. I listened to Doug the other day talking about how, more money goes out than comes in, and we're absolutely in that position. And God, there's so much I just have to start. You know, it's one thing to have these holidays and escapes, but it's another to face reality. And now I'm back to facing reality. So that's got to be dealt with. Health issues, man. I've had cramps in my leg, aching. And I'm thinking, okay, I guess it's arthritis, but what the hell? And of course the answer is, yeah, well then, why aren't you doing the exercises? We've been through that before. Sorry. I just, it's sort of almost that feeling of, I'll just, you see people do it. I'll just keep eating and I'll so what if I die early? I like eating. Hats off to John, who's following doctor's orders and limited himself to 2 pints last night. When we were at the Only, we had a very nice gathering with, there were 6 of us at the front table. The usual suspects, picture posted on Facebook. So, you know, big picture, all is well. I'm thrilled about lots of things. But I have to also, you know, start tightening the belt a little bit. But all I really want to do is get in this road trek and go for another camping trip. So I'm going to see if I can sneak one in while they're still open. I mean, most of them close by the middle of October. So there's not much time left, but I'll see what I can do. All right, Scarborough Dude, I just want to piece this together. This is a bit choppy. I mean, this podcast is from all over the place. Now you're ending in my driveway in Scarborough. And that's all for now. Still going, no matter what those people out there say.